D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. I hope everybody is having a wonderful start to their Thursday. Derek, did you run afoul of the law on your way here today?
No, me and the law, we made nice.
Mission accomplished.
Yes, so they didn't see me, I didn't see them. So there we go.
So you just avoided them.
Exactly. Or they avoided me. One of the
either way, either way.
I tell you one thing, I didn't get on the highway. I did not do that. I took the side streets. So I think it may have been more of me avoiding them than them avoiding me.
Lesson learned. Go through the side streets.
Exactly. There we go. So no running afoul of the law today.
Yet.
Yeah, I don't plan on it either.
Stop with that bad juju out there, all
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I don't plan on it either. I plan on sticking to the script for the next couple of days.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Willie, any deer in your backyard?
No, but a friend of mine from the neighborhood has been talking about this dynamic duo.
Of deers?
I believe mother and child.
Ooh.
Patrolling. If East Nash dwellers would like to provide insight on this, have they seen these two? This duo of deer running around East Nashville? I laid eyes on them the other night, and I was not hallucinating or anything, because others have said, yes, I've seen these. Not quite the reputation of Ed, the zebra, right? It's not quite as
you think
stark and like, wow, a zebra. Like, you're not as...
You think
they're
not
jealous? Like that when you see a deer. But in our neighborhood, like, we're really like city neighborhood. Look, we are not near the woods. Like, Shelby Park is a good couple miles from...
You are closer to the woods than I am.
I'm closer to Shelby Park than you are.
But you're still,
but still
far from
good
the way.
We're on the front
zoo.
Edge. Like, we're the, close. Like, you could walk to... Hey, you could walk to...
That
Nissan
used to be
Stadium.
Their hood. That used to be their hood. That's where they roamed.
Yeah, so
that's
like,
where they
wrong. It's the instinct. It's like
it's
the instinct.
They're like, where's mom's house, man? Yeah. I thought we were trying to find mom's.
And then they got mad. The zebra, they got jealous. They want some pub, too.
The rumor that I heard, I cannot confirm this, was somebody fed them or something. Like,
ooh,
and maybe that's what brings them, keeps them coming around.
It's like seagulls at the beach. I had to tell Arlo that last month when we went to the beach. He was having a snack, and there was a bird just hovering above Arlo, knowing that this little toddler was going to drop something. And I said, Arlo, don't drop the food. And he goes, why? I see, you see that bird up there? There's going to be more if you drop that snack. And he was very careful not to drop the snack. So maybe that's what it's like. Maybe the deer, somebody fed the deer, and now they're patrolling.
They want more food.
I think they're patrolling. I think that's a good term. But I want any Eastsiders, if they have any information about the deer, the mom, and the, I don't know if it's a guy or girl, the youngster.
But let us know.
Let us know.
It's like America's Most Wanted.
Yeah.
Call in. Tip line.
Got nothing against the deer. I want to see it turn out well for the deer. Just maybe lead them back to the woods or something like that.
So I'm sure you guys saw this because I sent it to you. So unless you're ignoring my texts, you definitely did see it. Apparently, Hugh Grant fell asleep at Wimbledon yesterday. Now, I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Hugh Grant. He's probably in your girlfriend's or wife's favorite movie. He's the charmingly befuddled British guy. He's in Notting Hill. He's in Bridget Jones's Diary. He's in Love Actually. And apparently he nodded off at Wimbledon yesterday. In the royal box. Like, that's where royalty sits, of course, and celebrities. And, of course, Hugh Grant, a well-known celebrity, and there was footage of him. Apparently, he was wearing sunglasses, so we don't know for sure.
I was going to say, has he denied that this happened?
He hasn't, but he was leaning a little bit. You know what it's like when you're on a plane or on a bus or in a car, and you're leaning the person sitting next to you, they're leaning just a little bit. You don't know if they're asleep. They may be wearing sunglasses, but I think he was clearly asleep. And it made me wonder if any of us can relate.
Mm-hmm.
Have you or anybody you know, have they fallen asleep at a sporting event before? Now, I've fallen asleep in a movie theater. I think that is something that people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I've never fallen asleep at a concert. But falling asleep at a sporting event, I think it takes a special kind of tired to fall asleep at a sporting event. Now, to be fair to Hugh Grant, tennis is the one sport I think that, and perhaps golf. Although golf, you're standing if you're in the what is it called, the gallery.
Yeah.
You're standing, so it's harder to fall asleep standing up. But tennis, you know, it's quiet. There's the hushed murmur of the crowd as they're talking quietly, and the sound of the ball going back and forth. It may lend itself to falling asleep. But can anybody relate? Do you know anybody, or have you fallen asleep at a sporting event?
But
before?
First of all, I'm not giving Hugh any slack about being at a tennis match. This is Wimbledon, man. You're in the royal box. You cannot even have any blood vessel in your body having you think about your falling asleep. Come on. You can't fall asleep at Wimbledon.
This is cocktails, man.
It's not even the first round. Like, this is the quarterfinals.
Come on.
This is a big match. He's a Brit.
This is it. During a Novak Djokovic match as well.
Yes.
This wasn't just two randos playing.
One of the greatest of all time.
Yes.
Willie, you should understand better than Adam over here. Okay? You should know this. And our listeners, they should know this. When you get to a certain age and you've had a few cocktails, typically what happens?
You can get a little sleepy.
Absolutely. There we go. You can get sleepy. And I'm sure that is exactly what he did.
Exactly. You can get a little sleepy.
That's why he put the sunglasses on. And he had sort of the lean to him. So, you know, he can deny it if he want to. But if I was him, I would not confirm nor deny whether I was up or not. I wouldn't. Because you can't tell unless you zoom. Now, here's the part that he got to worry about. Hopefully his publicist zoomed in on his eyes because those glasses are blue. They seem to be blue. So with a blue tint, sometimes you can see through the glasses if you get up close to him. So he needs to go over that and see if they can see his eyes. If they can't see his eyes, then, you know, just say, I'm not going to confirm nor deny it. Keep the story going. Why? Because then you become front page on everybody, and everybody's talking about you now.
You get the hype.
Exactly. There you go.
Especially those London tabloids. They love that stuff. Is that a big thing? Are they headlines? Like, I know you like to look up at the headlines sometimes.
He was all over BBC yesterday.
Okay.
I will tell you that. And I haven't looked at the London tabloids. But again, he has that little lean going on where it's clear that he's not all there. Maybe he's a little sleepy. Maybe he was just resting his eyes for a moment.
That's what my mom used to tell me. I'm just resting my eyes, boy.
The closest I have ever come to falling asleep at a sporting event. And by the way, this was in the middle of the day, right? In England. Mm-hmm. It wasn't at night. I don't know the exact time it was over there at the time. But the closest I ever came.
He's asleep.
Okay, you're looking at the picture right now.
Because I saw the picture, I was like, there's no way.
Because I could see if he had a cell phone in his hand, he could say, I was just looking at a text right there. But yeah, he's asleep. He got the thumbs crossed, the legs are crossed, I'm sure. Oh yeah, he's asleep.
What he needed was a pair of those.
A pillow. That's what he needed.
What he needed was a pair of those Homer Simpson glasses with the pupils drawn on them, so he sleeps, but it looks like he's awake when he was at jury duty, I think it was. But the closest I've ever come, and I have pulled up the box score from this, was Game 3 of the 2002 Stanley Cup Final between the Detroit Red Wings and the Carolina Hurricanes, a game that went to triple overtime. I was trying to find out exactly what time the game ended. I roughly remember it being, it was after 1 a.m. Eastern time. I'm pretty confident in that. So I would have been 13 at the time. My dad and I went down to the game. We drove down from Virginia to Raleigh to go to the game. And there, I vividly remember this, and David James, if you will. There was a song that they kept playing at the Hurricanes game that kept me awake. It was the one thing that kept me awake. David, if you have it, let's just set the scene here for a moment. We'll get to it. Here it comes.
I can see this being your song, Adam. I can see it being your song right now. You got up, you start dancing.
The theme song from Mortal Kombat. I'm waving my towel. I'm trying to stay awake. It's the only thing that's keeping me going. At 13 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
That takes me back. Those were the days. But that's the closest I ever came. But I was, A, 13 years old, and B, it was past my bedtime. But I stayed awake to watch the Red Wings win Game 3 on a triple overtime goal from Igor Larionov. That's how far back you have to go.
That was a great team pre-salary cap that Detroit assembled, and they had an enormous payroll. I mean, huge. They had guys like Luke Robitaille and Brett Hull and Chris Chelios. Guys were way past their prime, but they just added as secondary pieces, and they were pretty dominant. They were pretty dominant.
Dominik Hasek in goal for the Detroit Red Wings in that game.
Yeah, another guy towards the end of his prime, right? They had gotten him away from Buffalo by then.
I did tell this story last week on the show. I think it was last week that a few years ago, I went to Las Vegas to cover a Predators Golden Knights game. My wife came along. My parents met us there. We went to a Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil performance. We only could get tickets to the late show. So I believe it started 9:30 local time. I had flown in that day, had the jet lag, so I was getting pretty sleepy. And at one point, I nodded off during the performance. And when I woke up, it was during Thriller, and the performers were in the crowd in zombie garb and makeup doing the Thriller dance, one of whom was right in front of me. It freaked me the hell out when I woke up to see this zombie gyrating in my general direction. I don't know if that zombie picked up on it, but I felt like they were a little aggressive. Maybe they were upset that I nodded off during their performance.
I think that's very possible. Yeah, they identified you. Yeah. They identified you. That guy's falling asleep. I'm going to show him.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get him right now.
It's a good thing he wasn't there.
Exactly.
He'd have been toast. Those zombies would have just taken him.
Oh, goodness.
Hair Metal Henry on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, I fell asleep at one of my daughter's soccer games, and I was the coach.
Oh, Lord.
Must have been a rough Saturday.
Yes. Whew, you were the coach and you fell asleep. That is a feat that I don't think many can accomplish.
That's tough.
You are the coach and you fell.
Was he the head coach or at least the assistant
coach? Yeah, if you were assistant coach, were you just a volunteer coach or were you the actual person telling the kids what to do?
And were they five-year-olds or what age range is this?
Josh on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, said, my wife and I fell asleep at the drive-in, woke up around 4 a.m. and was the only car in the entire parking lot.
Oh, man.
And this place was not in the best neighborhood. Trunk open, keys in ignition, our belongings laying everywhere, and car seat on top of the car. This is when we decided drinking at the drive-in is not a good idea. Oh, no kids with us, though. Probably why we got some decent sleep for once, LOL.
So nobody... Man. No employees at the drive-in. They'd be just, you guys okay?
Yeah, I'm all right.
You guys are
theater, right. It's closed.
Everybody's gone.
Joey from Bellevue said he went to the Titans versus Jets game at MetLife with his son and uncle in 2021, and his uncle fell asleep.
Oh,
was that the game where Zach Wilson actually had a good game?
Probably so.
Against the Titans?
We can assume yes. We can just assume yes. It is hard to fall asleep at a game. It really is. That game either has to be completely boring or whoever fell asleep really didn't want to go, but they end up going anyway and they just lost interest in the game. But it's hard to fall asleep at a sporting event. It's easy to do it at a concert or something like that because I've seen it done. I've done it. My son fell asleep, no lie. He fell asleep at a Justin Timberlake concert. With his sister and his sister friend dancing right next to him. I'm sitting there, everybody screaming and yelling. This little kid is right next to me, sound asleep. He doesn't hear anything.
For a JT concert?
A JT concert, absolutely.
That's impressive.
Yeah, very impressive. Very impressive.
I think the day drinking is the key. I think that's probably the number one. You know, if we were playing Family Feud, name a reason you would fall asleep at a sporting event.
Day drinking.
Ding, 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 ding. Number one. That's number one. Show me day drinking.
Ding.
Michael in Clarksville says, left for Talladega at 1 a.m., then started drinking before passing out during the race. So there you go.
Oh, wow. See, but he passed out because he had consumed a lot of alcohol, not necessarily that it was boring or anything.
I still want to hear a press conference from Hugh Grant and get some questions. Like, Hugh, what were you thinking? What happened? Did you drink
just
too
tell
much?
The truth, man. I had a few cocktails and I'm, what, Hugh was what, 61, 62? He doesn't look it, but.
He's 64.
Yeah, 64. So, yeah, he has a right to fall asleep. Shoot.
He's an old man.
Exactly.
Quickly, unrelated, Wes from Hermitage texts in and says, today, Wes from Hermitage is actually Wes from the Sugar Sands in Destin. And I have you guys on the loudspeaker. Everybody at the beach hates the Titans, so this is fun for me. All I see is Jags flags. Let's talk about how bad Jacksonville is. Volume on max.
Titans, 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 Titans.
If you're listening, your coach is cringy as hell, Jacksonville fans.
Yeah, we're going to beat y'all. We're going to beat y'all in Jacksonville, and we're going to beat y'all here in Nashville. Mark that, okay?
Stamp it.
One texter said, I fell asleep at CMA Fest in the nosebleeds, and I woke up to Lil Nas X and Billy Ray Cyrus singing Old Town Road.
Hmm. Wow.
That song was pretty big back in the
day. Yeah, it was huge. How do you... Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure that had alcohol involved in it, too.
Probably.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. If any of you have ever fallen asleep at a sporting event or know somebody who has fallen asleep at a sporting event after Hugh Grant nodded off at Wimbledon yesterday, let us know. 615-737-1025. Before we go to break, do you guys mind if I'm petty for just a second?
Go ahead.
Go right ahead.
As I told you, Derek, recently, there's nothing better than a well-timed I told you so. So last week, it wasn't last week, it was Monday. On Monday, we started the show talking about Joey Chestnut in the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And we received multiple texts. Why are you talking about this? Nobody cares about Joey Chestnut. Check the ratings. According to Front Office Sports, Joey Chestnut's return to the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest drew 1.62 million viewers on ESPN2. It's the most watched contest in 11 years and up 95% from last year's when Chestnut was barred from competing. So to all of you who texted in and made fun of me for caring about Joey Chestnut, like one of the 70 and a half hot dogs and buns that Chestnut consumed on July 4th, you can take that take and shove it down your pie hole. 615-737-1025.
Joey.
Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com.
Is he the pie eating champion as well?
Is that why you said
pie hole?
I was going to say cram it up your cram hole of floor, but I think the cram hole is a different hole, and I don't think he puts hot dogs up there, at least to my knowledge. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Derek needs a minute.
This is a kid's show.
That's why I said pie hole.
Initially.
Coming up next, which college athletes would have been the most profitable if NIL went into effect 25 years ago? An interesting list on Fox Sports that we'll get to coming up next. 615-737-1025. Derek, get a grip, man. The Porchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race, R-A-C-E now, to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. 1025 The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Saturday at Pella, 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Before we get to our next topic, Gino on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I fell asleep at our friend's Catholic wedding. Really bad when you get the priest trying to wake you up on the microphone because you missed your cue to get up and read. Oh, mixing the fact that I have stage fright. Epic fail.
Ooh. He was a reader and he fell asleep before his time. Like, I could see, like, just chilling out after you've done the reading. You're like, whew, that's over with. No, people get a little nervous sometimes. He didn't.
He fell missed asleep his cue.
Before?
Yes.
Was he on, like, some.
Medication? It was too long. Weddings are too long sometimes, man. This should
true.
Be 10 yeah. minutes max. I do. Kiss. Let's go. Let's party. That's it.
I'd be down with that.
That's it. Walk in. Fair. Boom, boom. Let's do it. Boom, we're out. That's probably why he fell asleep. Yeah. It's too long.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So I got married in August in a place that didn't have air conditioning. I had a little, I would have been down with the 10 minute. I had a little sweat problem.
I'm sure it's a big sweat problem.
I'm thinking now of Gary Williams, the ex Maryland basketball coach from 20, 25 years ago. He would take off his suit jacket and that thing would be soaked.
Bruce Pearl. No question.
He would be wearing the long sleeve dress shirt, and he would take off his sport coat, and the arms would be soaking wet, but his chest would be dry, the part that wasn't covered by the sport coat. Very funny. Speaking of college, can you remember a time when athletes weren't permitted to receive profits from their name, image, and likeness? It's a crazy time. Before July 1st, 2021.
Legally.
Legally. Yeah, right. Legally, before July 1st, 2021, college athletes were not permitted to receive profits from their name, image, and likeness. And Fox Sports, Derek brought this to our attention, Fox Sports had a fun story recently ranking which college football players would have been the most profitable if NIL had gone into effect at the turn of the century, so since 2000. They had three writers rank their top five. The way they did this exercise was all three writers were each given a hypothetical $100 million to distribute to their five choices while being asked to rank them from one to five, with one being the most profitable. And it's an interesting list. And all three writers have different lists. So here is just a sample of the highest paid college football players if NIL existed since 2000. And you let us know if somebody is missing. Michael Vick. Lamar Jackson, Darren McFadden, Julius Peppers, Tavon Austin, Matt Leinart, Tim Tebow, big one in my opinion, Kyler Murray, Trevor Lawrence, Adrian Peterson, Johnny Manziel himself, Reggie Bush, Cam Newton, Vince Young, and Tyrann Mathieu. Those were the 15 players that Fox Sports selected that would have been the highest paid players in college football had NIL existed since 2000. Is there one name in particular that stands out among that group for you two?
Did Cam Newton get on that list?
Cam Newton is on the list.
He made it.
Cam Newton stood out to me because I don't know that they took it this far, but the dynamic that would have been really interesting with Cam Newton and maybe a couple of these other guys in the way the world works now, but you get on a team that's got another quarterback, because Cam Newton was actually on the Florida campus with Tim Tebow. And he got into some trouble, but I don't think it would have ultimately affected his NIL. But can you imagine Cam Newton hitting the transfer portal?
Oh, man.
With the NIL full board. That would have been, and I don't, who It'd knows been, what Auburn did to get him. They got into some trouble. Remember, there was some eligibility questions that cropped up while he was leading them to a national tournament or a national title. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if we could look that up real quick, but there was some thought. I think it was with his dad. There was something about, something he got, in the extra benefit back in those days. Thank goodness we don't have to try to invest in those
cases. Goodness.
Can you imagine, though, Cam Newton, who was sort of unknown, he would have gotten a huge amount of money.
Well, he was one of the top-ranked quarterbacks coming out, but he went to Florida and was sent by Tim Tebow. Here's the one that's interesting to me, and it's not necessarily because of his athletic prowess or anything else. Tim Tebow would have been interesting. Because of his faith, what would he have endorsed? What wouldn't he have? And I know he can't endorse alcohol. Would he, and college players can't endorse gambling. But is there a product that he would not have endorsed?
See, that's one
then.
I hadn't even thought about,
like,
that.
Back then,
you have just what you're going to get paid from a collective of, hey, we got to pay our quarterback or else he's going to leave. But on top of that, a true definition of name, image, and likeness, being able to be a pitch man.
But
for
in
some form.
I think he would have
two sources.
Yeah, I think he would have been more like Travis. Travis Hunter. Giving his portion away to the guys that needed it, because he was getting his own money. I think he would have did the Travis Hunter, went down the Travis Hunter route of, giving his portion of NIL because he was making money you know, with other corporations. I think that's what he would have done. But I think it would have been interesting to see if he would have, you know, chosen not to endorse a product for whatever reason, you know, because of his faith.
David James just sent this to me. In 2010, Cam Newton faced investigations related to potential NCAA violations during his recruitment to Auburn and his time at the University of Florida. These included allegations of academic cheating at Florida and a pay-for-play scheme involving his father and a recruiter attempting to secure a deal with Mississippi State. While the NCAA investigated, Newton was briefly declared ineligible twice, but was ultimately cleared of any wrongdoing in the pay-for-play scheme. Mm.
I remember, I think they were playing Georgia. There was some discussion of whether he would actually be able to play in that game, and they played him. Of course, they ended up winning the whole thing, and nothing came of it. But it used to be able to get a little dicey. There were guys that sat out games for one reason or another. It wasn't AJ. Remember AJ Green, the
wide receiver from Georgia.
Georgia, really good player for the Bengals. He signed some jerseys or something,
and he got
something
suspended.
Pretty hard. But he got suspended
at the beginning of the year. He signed jerseys before camp started, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up getting in trouble, I think missing a few games that year, if I'm not mistaken. Another one, Darren McFadden.
Who knows what Johnny Manziel would have done?
Johnny, I mean, he would have gotten, in Texas.
He Johnny Manziel.
It. Yeah, he would have milked
with the,
it
with
as,
the money sign.
As
he
much,
absolutely would have cashed in.
As much as, you know.
Legally.
He probably cashed in anyway. Darren McFadden was another one. Because I don't think people understand how good Darren McFadden was. Like, he was the receiver, the quarterback, the running back. He was doing things that, you know, we look at guys doing now on offense, whether it be, you know, a receiver being in the backfield a lot, doing these jet sweeps and everything else, or the running back lining up as the, you know, quarterback and taking snaps and throwing the ball. He was throwing the football. He was running it. He was their offense at Arkansas.
I think what people struggle with sometimes when having these conversations is they struggle to separate the college performance from the professional performance. So Darren McFadden did not pan out.
Didn't he get
NFL.
Hurt? I thought he got hurt. He had a knee injury, if I'm not mistaken.
He played 10 years in the NFL, parts of 10 seasons. But his career ended with 5,421 rushing yards and 28 touchdowns. So he was a disappointment relative to what we saw in college. So I do think that people tend to combine the two. I think Tim Tebow might be a perfect example. Tim Tebow had a highly celebrated collegiate career and had his moments in the NFL, but because people remember him being a bust for the most part in the NFL, it sort of taints their view of his performance in college. The one on this list that I can speak to from personal experience, and if Jake Lyman is listening, he probably can as well, is Michael Vick. You know, living in Virginia when Michael Vick burst onto the scene, and he was from my area,
right,
and then went to Virginia Tech, led the Hokies to an undefeated season, went to the college football championship game against Florida State. They lost that game. I can only imagine, I believe he played 2 years at Virginia Tech, so he came back.
And he didn't play his true freshman year. He was backing up because I believe, if I got that right, the first ever Music City Bowl, Virginia Tech played Alabama, and it was brutal weather. It was unbelievable. I was at the game. It was rough. It was a sold-out game, great crowd. And Michael Vick, I think, was a true freshman backing up. So I wonder how that would have affected the NIL.
I believe he came back the year after Virginia Tech lost in the national title game. I have to imagine the money would have been rolling in.
Of course.
That year, before he went
very
pro.
Very interesting, yeah.
So Michael Vick certainly came to mind.
Now, Michael Vick was the local guy, so it probably would have been easier, I think, for Virginia Tech to keep him. I wonder about a guy like Lamar Jackson in a situation where maybe you're at a school that doesn't quite have, for lack of a better term, the war chest.
And Louisville
payroll.
Didn't, I'm
maybe
sure.
Maybe Louisville didn't have what another school might. And somebody seeing Lamar Jackson initially and going, wow, we got to get that guy. You know, the tampering, and I wonder what that dynamic would have been like for an Ohio State or an Alabama, somebody that's got big, big money.
615-737-1025. Which college football players would have been the most profitable if NIL had gone into effect in 2000? So keep it since 2000. 615-737-1025. I've also come up with five college basketball players who would have absolutely raked in the dough if NIL had gone into
effect. How many of them played at Duke? Four?
One. One.
Oh, I thought you were going to have five Duke players like just roll them out.
Nope, just one. 615, and you'll
very see objective of you.
And you'll see who it is coming up next. 615-737-1025. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trintex's Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025-1063 the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Our question to you at 615-737-1025. Which college football players or athletes would have been the most profitable if NIL had gone into effect at the turn of the century? A couple of texters on our text line driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. A lot of mentions for Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel. Greg offers a couple. Baker Mayfield, Jamarcus Russell, and Nick Chubb. Joe Burrow, another choice on the text line.
Joe Burrow at Ohio State playing behind Fields? Who was he playing behind that he lost out?
Haskins.
Dwayne Haskins. Yes. And so he could have cashed in. Woo.
Jameis
you
Winston.
You think LSU would have paid handsomely? Maybe they did anyway.
Jameis Winston, another answer on our text line. I decided to do this exercise with college basketball players, and much to Willie's surprise, I only came up with one Duke player. I wanted to keep
the over-under for me was at least 3.5.
I wanted to keep it to 5. So here are the 5 college basketball players I think would have been huge money makers had NIL had gone into effect before July 1st, 2021. Let's get the Duke player out of the way. Zion Williamson.
Yes.
Zion Williamson would have made so much money. Here are the others. Anthony Davis at Kentucky. Joakim Noah at Florida. Steph Curry at Davidson. And Jimmer Fredette at BYU.
Jimmer Fredette?
Remember That's Jimmer Fredette?
Of course.
Fredette would have cashed in. He never had great NBA career. He would have made all his money playing at BYU.
There's a couple of guys that have different profiles there, right? Because Steph Curry, for example, at Davidson, can you imagine him doing what he was doing at Davidson and then being courted by schools that would, Davidson would have no chance of keeping him. Zion Williamson would have been all on the front end. You only got him for 1 year. So, and same with Anthony Davis, right? That's a different category. And who was the other guy you mentioned?
Joakim Noah.
Noah was a little bit more of a late bloomer, right? He stayed. Remember the Florida team famously all came back and defended the title. So that's a unique case. I wonder how that would have worked.
But Jimmer Fredette.
He played in the NBA, right?
Briefly. He did not have a illustrious NBA career.
He played, I think, last year in the Olympics on the 3-on-3 team.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a great player. Are you saying just the BYU network would have just said, Jimmer, go on a mission, something like that? Like, how would they have funded it?
Jimmer Fredette played parts of 6 seasons in the NBA.
I thought so.
Played for Sacramento, New Orleans, I guess. Chicago and Phoenix and the Knicks for 2 games. Mm. How about that?
Okay. To me, the highest moneymaker would have been either Carmelo Anthony.
That's a good one.
Or Anthony Davis.
More so than Zion?
Okay, so but remember, they're
Carmelo's
getting,
in New York.
Theory,
that's
they're
why.
Getting it. They're getting it all
he's
in 1 year.
Syracuse. Yeah, he's getting it at 1 year.
Well, there's a difference between
so that's
New
freshman.
York and
what's,
Syracuse.
But what do you measure?
Yeah, you're right about that.
Per
yeah,
year,
absolutely.
You get a big lump sum in 1 year.
New York
or
City and Syracuse, two different.
Stay for 4 years and get 4 huge paydays.
But like Carmelo only stayed 1 year. So
that's what I'm saying. So that we have to, like Jimmer, who played. Did he play 4 years at BYU?
I believe he played 4 years at BYU. Yes.
Like the guys that, like Noah played at least 3 at Florida, right?
I think Noah played 4.
He might have played 4.
I think he played 4.
But
so
you look at
some paydays there.
You look at, when you look at those 3 guys, in particular, Carmelo Anthony, he was the number 1 recruit in the country. So that right there, in today's game, that would have gave him, he would have been up already. And then, they probably would have enticed him to come back another year because they had won the national championship with him as a freshman. So just imagine had he stayed another year, because why did guys leave early? Because they wanted to make the money.
Right.
So if Carmelo Anthony comes in, he wins the national championship, that next year, wow, that's a lot of money.
By the way, Jimmer Fredette did play 4 years at BYU.
Anthony Davis is the same way. He stays after they win the national championship. How much money does he get?
See, that, I do wonder in the coming years, if there are guys that good their first year, how many will stay? Because it did get talked about with Cooper Flagg, right?
For a brief moment.
For a brief moment.
Although nobody actually believed he was going to come
back.
But what
I was hearing was rumblings of how much they could pay him. You know, and it was a high number to try to say, here's how much it would take to at least make you think about it. It's like $10 or $12 million.
But it would still pale in comparison to what he
made. What he making now, yeah, but we're talking back then, you know. And listen, it would have been relative to what NIL wouldn't have been as much as it is now. It would just been relative to the time.
I think it would be more about who's got the first pick or who, you know, who are the teams you could play for. Is it worth – can you develop at the college level? Will it stunt your growth? Will it put you in a better position to succeed after one more year of college? If you're somebody like Flagg, who was really young.
But it hurts.
Certainly that didn't keep him ultimately from saying, I'm going to be the number one guy.
Well, guys like Cooper Flagg, Anthony Davis, Zion, and I'm just talking about guys that are more recent. We can throw Carmelo Anthony in there anyway. But guys like that, I mean, they're going to get their money regardless. So whether they, you know, can I entice you to stay another year? Knowing that you're going to get that money all, you know, regardless. And they were trying, it was more of a thing for a kid to stay an extra year or two in college back then as opposed to now. Right now, these kids, even if they don't play the whole season, some of these kids are just leaving, you know, because they're projected to be top 15 picks.
One texter mentions Ja Morant at Murray State, which I guess would be along the same lines as Steph Curry at Davidson, right?
No, but Steph Curry, honestly, nobody knew about Steph Curry until the tournament really started. Now, he was a good player, but he just blew up during the tournament. So I don't know if he would have really qualified.
I think he would have been a guy that could probably have, after that tournament performance where they pulled some upsets, where did they get to the final eight, I think, and he threw his name into the portal.
Yeah, he would have been.
I think he would have gotten a lot of money for that next year. And as it was, he wasn't the first overall pick,
no,
right?
He was
a first rounder, 5th, right?
He was 14, the ninth. I think he was the ninth pick.
That's a good one. And Ja Morant is a really interesting one because, you know, you saw Ja Morant play. They had some great battles with Belmont back then, Murray State and Belmont. You're like, how in the world is this guy at Murray State? But you know, he has a unique story, and I do want that would be a really interesting one, is if he'd have gone to a transfer portal for one more year of college, he could have cashed in big.
Oh, of course.
But these are all guys that a lot of these guys we're talking about were
Kevin Durant, immediate
successes in the NBA, and if that's the case, were they really going to stay? Yeah. There's other guys that there's a crop of college players right now, and I think in some sense, in football, too, some of these quarterbacks who are staying another year, they're seeing a huge opportunity where they know maybe it's not a slam dunk that they become a great player at the pros, and so let's stay the other year and get a big payday. Like Hunter Dickinson at Kansas, Zach Edey at Purdue.
Yeah.
Eventually, you get into the league, but when you can dominate college basketball and collect a big paycheck rather than maybe be a second-round pick and fighting for a roster spot, where would you rather spend that year?
You know who would have been
I wish Scottie Pippen Jr. would have done that at Vanderbilt. Jerry Stackhouse might still be the coach if he'd have done that.
But he's turned
out Vanderbilt would have paid him. And that was at the time, Vanderbilt was really not in the game. And it was kind of a new thing. That's a really good what-if.
I mean, but it seemed to be working out for him. You know, another one.
He made it.
Yeah, he made it. He's playing well. Tyler Hansbrough.
Ugh.
No. I'm saying it from this standpoint. I know, he was a guy that stayed, what, he stayed all 4 years, didn't he?
I believe so.
Just his name makes me sick.
It makes people mad. He would have been a guy that I think would have chosen to stay an extra year because it would have been more profitable for him to stay. Because we all know this. The longer you stay in college, your stock diminishes.
That's just what happens. That used to be the rap.
I think it still is the rap.
The longer you stay,
it's going to diminish. Because you look at all the kids that got drafted this year, last year, they're all first and second year guys. You know, or guys from overseas.
Yeah, 18, 19, 20.
So the longer you stay in college, and I'm looking at a guy like Hansbro, who would have stayed, NIL would have benefited him perfectly. You know, because he would have been able to capitalize on, how he was playing, in regards to money, I think a lot easier than him
What was he drafted? He was a first round pick. And he played in the league, but it was never a great pro.
He was the 13th pick in 2009.
Okay.
Now I'm just thinking about when Gerald Henderson elbowed Tyler Hansbro in the nose. I know that Carolina won that game, but it's still a great picture to look at, even now. But yeah, Tyler Hansbro, why did you have to do that to me, Derek? My stomach doesn't feel good anymore.
But he's one of those guys that falls in that category perfectly.
I think the category, the sweet spot would be made more money in NIL than in the NBA.
Yes.
That could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And not counting what you might make in the G League or overseas.
Well, that was my point with Jimmer Fredette, right? Jimmer Fredette, I think, would have banked a ton of cash over 4 years at BYU more than he would have made in the NBA because he was out of the league pretty quickly. He was never really a consistent player, and then he went overseas for a few years, I think. But it is an interesting exercise, but as we know, it's the era of NIL. And speaking of that, Deion Sanders said something yesterday at, is it Big 12? I get all the conferences mixed up. Big 12 Media Day about NIL that I want to get to coming up next. 615-737-1025. We will continue this conversation coming up next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.